Let's turn, though, our attention tonight to Matthew chapter 36 for our text. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46 tonight. And let's again give our careful attention to God's word tonight. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for a second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. He is all wise and all knowing. God is perfectly just, and his love never fails. And yet, it is precisely when we cannot see the good end that he has in mind in either one of his laws or in a specific event that happens in our lives, that's when we have a very difficult time trusting that his ways and his will are the best. And therefore, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer is very important for us to consider. And I have that reproduced, at least our catechism's articulation of it reproduced there in your outline tonight. Question 103, what do we pray for in the third petition? Answer, in the third petition, which is, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we pray that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things, as the angels do in heaven. The third petition is really a very succinct and simple confession that God is God, and we are his people. It's a petition that articulates a resignation in ourselves to his will, acknowledging that he is good and he is wise and he is loving in all that he commands and in all that he brings our way. Though his law might bring us hardship, or the event that we have been visited with might not be good in and of itself, we still submit to it. Indeed, we need to be praying, and I'm underscoring the emphasis on our action. We need to be praying this petition regularly from the heart. We don't need to merely be reciting it on Lord's Day mornings. We need to be praying this petition, because if we are submitted to the will of the Lord as a daily lifestyle, then we will be better able to submit to His will when we are called to obey it, when it is either unpopular or when we are visited by very hard providences. I want us to consider this evening three brief points in regard to the third petition. And the first point is simply God and His will. God and His will. The subject of the will of God brings us into very, very deep waters. And we're not going to pretend that we're going to exhaust this subject tonight. In fact, the waters that the subject brings us into are far too deep for us to come into this evening. But hopefully, we can still make a couple of helpful points. When we talk about the will of God, we need to be a bit more specific as to what we are referring to when we say the will of God. Because in any given event or action that takes place in life, we can speak on at least two levels regarding the will of God with regard to that event. For instance, God may ordain something to happen. It is His will that all of that rain came a couple weeks ago. Or something bad has befallen us. It's His will that these things happen. But the very thing that has happened actually might be immoral, and it might be something that is against His revealed law. We can all think of events like this, but I want us to keep our minds in here tonight and not let them drift too far. And I want us to think for a moment of the greatest example of this idea that something can be the will of God, and yet at the same time it can be against His revealed will. And the greatest example of this that can be thought of, the greatest example of this that we know of, is actually the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. God has revealed in His law that injustice, betrayal, lying, brutality, all of these things are against His will. And thus, looking at Christ's crucifixion from the perspective of God's law, or from the perspective of God's revealed will, it was very, very wrong. And yet, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10, we read, "It was the will of the Lord to crush Him." God ordained that Jesus would be crucified at the hands of lawless men. Indeed, we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, to quote Luke, "This Jesus," actually Luke's quoting Peter, "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." So there is both the revealed will of God and God's decree coming together in the crucifixion of Christ. Now, when we pray, "Thy will be done," in the Lord's Prayer, we are praying in two ways. First, when we pray, "Thy will be done," in the Lord's Prayer, we are praying that His revealed will would be accomplished. We need to be praying that righteousness would flourish in our own lives and in the lives of others. That's what we're to be praying according to. What He's revealed that He says He wants us to do, how He wants mankind to live, we're to be praying according to that revealed will, that righteousness would flourish in our own lives and the lives of others. But secondly, we are praying also, when we pray, "Thy will be done," we are also praying that we will accept and we will submit to whatever actually does happen to us and to others. We call these two aspects of the will of God, and I have these little fill-ins for you on your outline tonight. We call these two aspects of the will of God His prescriptive will. His prescriptive will, in other words, that which He prescribes to be done in His law, that which He calls for. He says, "I want you to do this," or "I don't want you to do that." We call this His prescriptive will. And His decretive will, His decree, that which He has ordained to happen from all eternity. His decretive will and His prescriptive will. But let's now turn and consider how we relate to God and His will. So let's consider, secondly this evening, you and God's will. You are not called ahead of time to figure out God's decretive will. That's not something God has called you to in your life. In other words, you're not called to peer into and try to figure out what He has ordained to happen, but you have been called to know, to obey, and to submit to His will when it has been revealed to us. And God has and does reveal His will to us in two primary ways. First of all, He reveals His will to us by way of His written word. That is, in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. And secondly, He reveals His will to us by way of His providence. In other words, that which actually happens in life. We know what His will is once it has taken place. And so there's two ways that we know it. First of all, we know it in the sense of what He's prescribed that He wants to be done. But then circumstantially, we know what He wants because that's what actually has happened. It's come about by His providence. So in the law, in the Bible, God calls us to various actions and He forbids certain actions from us. But He also shows us what He wants and what He doesn't want. And He does this also in the life and example of Christ. So not only reading back in the law of Moses, but actually seeing the life of Jesus is also a revelation of what God wants us to do, His prescriptive will. This is what the life of a godly person looks like. And yet, once something takes place in the world, in other words, in our lives or in general, we are called to submit to those events as being the will of God also, because now it has been revealed to us that these things are His will as well. And this is really one of the hardest applications of the third petition that we can deal with. To be able to stand in the midst of tragedy, to be able to stand in the midst of affliction and even evil and say, "Thy will be done." But let me also address very briefly and say immediately and quickly that this is not at all, praying the third petition is not at all a call to stoicism and to be emotionless in the face of a hard providence. Jesus wept. Jesus got angry. Jesus rejoiced. Jesus was deeply concerned with injustice and evil and pain. He never just looked at things in an emotionless way and said, "Oh, well, it's what God wants." In fact, that non-human demonic stoicism is actually only found in religions like Islam. You are not called to that as a believer. It should actually never be found within Christianity. We are real people who interface with real tragedy, real evil, and we are to respond appropriately. And so we have the secret will of God. his providential acts in this life. And we have his revealed will, that which he wants us to do as he's told us to do in his word. And concerning these two ways of looking at his will, Moses actually gives us the best and the most succinct instruction that can be found in Deuteronomy 29:29. I'd like you to turn there briefly tonight to Deuteronomy 29:29. And if you are one who marks their Bible, this better be marked in your Bible. And if it's not, you mark it tonight if you're one of those who marks. Deuteronomy 29:29 is one of the most beautiful and succinct statements of how we are to engage with the will of God. Both of these aspects, his prescriptive, his revealed will, and his decretive will. Deuteronomy 29:29, I'm just picking this out, but this is a helpful statement. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I mean, look at that again and chew on that for a moment. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That is, we cannot know the will of God beforehand. God has a secret will that he is bringing about. And unless, and this does happen, and it did happen in the past particularly, unless there is some kind of supernatural prophetic foresight telling of an event that's going to take place in the future, we cannot know the will of God beforehand on any given event. We don't know unless he has told us ahead of time. And then that would be something that's revealed. But those secret things we are not to know. But we do know by way of his law what he wants us to do and what he forbids us from doing. And therefore, we are to be about obeying the revealed will and submitting to his providence. We are not to be about trying to peer into his secret will. We are not to be about trying to figure out God's next move, or even the reason why he does what he does and has done what he has done. And finally tonight, I want us to briefly consider Jesus and God's will. Jesus and God's will. And you might turn back briefly to Matthew 26, to our text this evening. There's something very beautiful about the Lord's Prayer. And that is every single petition that Jesus calls us to ultimately pray. And in the general tenor of that prayer, we see Jesus himself praying that same way to the Father. And Jesus himself prayed the third petition of this prayer, and he prayed it from a very unique vantage point. And in observing this fact, we find consolation and help in our own praying of this petition. You see, as our text tells us this evening, Jesus uniquely knew the secret will of God before it happened. That's something you and I can't claim. Jesus uniquely knew the secret will of God before it happened, but he also prayed that the cup he was ordained to drink might pass from him if possible. So he earnestly desires that righteousness would be done as well. He prays both according to the secret and the revealed will together concerning himself. But he still submits all to the will of God. Look at verse 39 of our text. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." We are entirely on holy ground when we try to contemplate all that is going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. There are mysteries here in Gethsemane that are beyond our ability to penetrate. But we at least see Jesus, our elder brother. We at least see him praying and wrestling with the will of God, and yet then submitting to it. As we see a little farther down, look at verse 42. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass until I drink it, your will be done." And then again, we learn from verse 44. "So leaving them again, he went away and he prayed for the third time, saying the same words again." This is the pattern that we are to follow as well. All is not easy in the law of God. All is not easy in the Christian life. We are often called to stand in the face of opposition and hardship. We're called to endure hardship for obeying God and His will. Or we are going to be faced with a faith-testing trial that will bring us to the brink of spiritual collapse. And the only way that we can endure these things that come into our lives is by prayer. We pray that God, by His grace, would enable us, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will in all things. In other words, this is not going to be found within yourself, your ability to submit to the will of God. When you pray the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, you are praying that God, by His grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to His will in all things. Jesus is teaching us to pray both by precept and example. He tells us what to pray in the Lord's Prayer, and He shows us how to pray in His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And in this third petition, we see that He not only tells us, again, in His life, we see that He shows us. Praying that God's will be done is the way that God strengthens us to accept and obey His will when it happens. It's through the struggle and the wrestling of prayer that we come to embrace His will, and we come to be ready for whatever He decides to bring about in our lives. And by His grace, as we pray this third petition, may we seek to be more and more conformed to the obedience of Christ, and more conformed to His acceptance of the will of God. We should come to love the will of God, even when we don't always understand it, because it is by that will, it is by our Savior submitting to that will, Christ's obedience and submission to it, it's by that will that we have actually been saved. We know it is good. We know the things that God brings about in our lives are for good, even when we cannot see them. And so let's pray again that third petition, and let's make it a lifestyle of submitting to His will. Let's pray together briefly. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for giving us guidance in how we are to live in this world and how we are to cry out and pray to You. We thank You for our Savior Jesus Christ, who, when asked, graciously responded to the request to teach us to pray. He gave this glorious prayer to train us and to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And Father, we do pray that by your grace you would make us able and willing to know and to obey and to submit to your will in all things. Father, we pray that this would become a part of our daily life and prayer, so that as we, even in the relatively easier seasons, submit to your will, that when you bring the hardship our way, we might be ready and willing to say, nevertheless, even if we've wrestled with you in prayer, nevertheless, not our will, but yours be done. Father, teach us how to be these people. Teach us to love your will. Thank you that it was your will to crush our Savior Jesus, so that we might even be gathered here worshiping you tonight. We do pray in his name. Amen.